Well, here's the discovery I made this week, is that millennials and those after them had no idea that song even existed. Josh came over to me and I said, I'm looking for this ketchup commercial. It's a Heinz ketchup commercial, and it's got a song by Carly Simon on it. And he said, "Who is that?" I was like, "Wow!" I thought everybody knew this song. Listen, thank you so much for coming to worship the Lord this morning and coming to hear His word. I want to talk to you about what that song was saying. I want to talk to you this morning about the subject of anticipation. Listen, I know from week to week, every week something gets said here, and there's weeks you remember certain things and other weeks you don't remember so much. I really want to invite you. There's in your bulletin as you were coming in this morning, there's a sheet of paper in there for you to write down some things. And this morning, I'm going to say some things, at least I believe I'm going to say some things that are definitely worth jotting down on a piece of paper and putting somewhere where you might see it again in the days to come. I'd like to talk to you about anticipation, and that was just a very lighthearted way of kind of introducing the theme. The idea behind that commercial was that they were trying to sell us on the fact that Heinz ketchup tasted so good that it was worth waiting for. And again, using that theme song by Carly Simon to kind of underscore. There's a definition for, actually a couple definitions for anticipation. The first one is the feeling of excitement that something is going to happen. And the second one is the act of preparing for something that is yet to happen. I'd like to, for our purposes this morning, I'd like to focus on the first meaning, the A meaning, the feeling of excitement that something is going to happen. Now, everybody in here this morning has experienced anticipation at some level. In fact, I've got a couple pictures to show you here this morning. I found this one, and I thought in light of the weather, this was a really good one. Does anybody have snow at their place this morning? It's crazy, really, really crazy. But many of us as children know what it was like on Christmas Eve. In fact, as an adult now, I know what our kids felt like because they were up before the sun did, right? There was a sense of anticipation in the air on Christmas Eve. And I see my dad sitting back there this morning, and I can remember times as I was growing up that, you know, we our home was a festive place and whatnot. And I can remember one particular Christmas Eve, my dad used to dress up in a Santa Claus outfit for, you know, the neighborhood, different functions that was going on. And one Christmas Eve, I don't know if he remembers this, but I remember it well, he got up on the roof of our house. And he stomped around on the roof a little bit, you know, like Santa and a reindeer were landing, you know, that kind of thing. And I can remember laying in my bed just like, whoa, yeah, you know, it's happening, that kind of thing, you know. You know. So everybody, you have all at one point in your life or another experienced a sense of anticipation. In fact, there are some men in this room here this morning that still, they look like this. They still can't sleep before the opening day of deer season. Grown men, right? Grown men who for some reason or other, they can't sleep the night before the opening day. It's because there's a sense of anticipation in our souls. Something is going to happen. Something is going to happen. There are brides, and I dare say grooms, but I definitely will point to brides that look like this the night before their wedding. There's a sense of anticipation of what's about to happen, whether it's the ceremony or the honeymoon, that sense of something's about to take place. For many children, their first day of school, they can't, you know, there's that wiredness, that sense of anticipation. Or maybe you're the person who's wanting to land their first job and you're filled with a sense of anticipation. Many of us, before going on a trip, I know my wife, for instance, before she's ready to leave for a missions trip and be going to be gone for a number of days, I can just sense inside of her especially that there's a restlessness, there's an anticipation of what's about to take place. Just recently, many of you know that my son-in-law, Bucky, and I went to South Dakota on a short adventure, and all of the things leading up to that, all the preparation, the packing of the stuff and all the stuff that goes on, it just somehow inside of you, there's this sense of excitement about something that's about to take place. I find it very sad that a thing can happen in all of our lives where anticipation no longer is something we experience. I find it rather sad that somehow we become apprehensive or even jaded or cynical or critical or even sometimes fatalistic, meaning that there is no outcome worth getting excited about. And I ask myself, I say, how is it that we go from that child on Christmas Eve to the adult that becomes very much jaded and cynical about life? And we find ourselves just simply doing life by going through the motions, and we never are looking forward to anything that's about to take place. You know, I got to thinking about it, and I began to do some research about it, and I found out that anticipation is a key ingredient of faith. Faith has many layers to it, but one of the prominent layers to faith is this sense of anticipation. The feeling of excitement that God is going to do something. Hello? The feeling of excitement that God is about to do something. For example, when I'm spending the week putting together some thoughts and some ideas and whatnot, I go through a process. You know, Monday, unless we're doing like a long series, sometimes a little bit different, but like on Mondays, like this past Monday, I set aside some time on that particular day to say, God, what is it that is on your heart? What is it that you would like me to relay to your people, Lord? And as I get a sense, or I start to think about, well, you know, what might be on his heart, or I'm trying to, you know, get a feel for what would be good for the people that God has us working with, I usually land on something. I land on, you know, a passage of scripture. I land on a key thought. And as I take that, I begin to develop it, and things start to kind of come around and fall in place. And as that's happening, in my soul, I feel like there's this sense of anticipation brewing that God is actually going to do something in the hearts and lives of people. And I thought to myself, how sad would it be that I would just be putting something to just fill a time slot, and there's no such sense of anticipation about it. There's no sense that God wants to do something and is going to do something with the little bit of crumbs that I might prepare to feed. And I ask myself, how does that happen? How does that happen that we go from that place of being at times full of anticipation to a place of no or little anticipation in our lives? Just recently, I was talking to somebody, and to me, it was such a perfect example of what I'm talking about. I was talking to somebody and they brought up the weather. And they said to me, they said, well, you know, we had a pretty light winter, so we'll probably pay for it this summer. You've heard people say that, right? Or if you have a nice summer, somebody will say, well, you better get ready, because if we had a nice summer, we're going to have an awful winter. You know what I'm talking about. It is like they can't look forward to what's next, anticipating something exciting. And I ask myself, you know, how is it that we end up there? And so I want to talk to you this morning. I believe that it has to do with the subtle difference between anticipation versus expectation. Anticipation versus expectation. I've already given to you the definition we're working with for anticipation, the feeling of excitement that something is going to happen. But I don't know, to me there is a subtle difference. Here is expectation, the strong belief that something should happen. Something should happen. Anticipation is born out of hope. Expectation many times is born out of entitlement. Let me try to say this again. Anticipation says in the heart, something is going to happen and it's worth getting excited about. Expectation says something should happen, and usually it's the way that I think it should happen. Hello? In other words, when we form an expectation about something, we also project into that situation what we believe should occur. Hebrews in chapter 1 says this, faith is being sure of what we hope for. Let me say that again. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain. And by the way, that word in the Greek for certain can also be translated conviction. In other words, we are convinced or we're convicted of what we do not see. So this idea of hope and it being the bedrock, if you will, of anticipation, where verses... expectations many times has its as its bedrock what I think or that entitlement idea of what should happen. Hopeful anticipation, listen now, you might want to write this down. Hopeful anticipation allows for a number of things to happen. Are you there? Anticipation keeps us open to the possibilities we couldn't have imagined ahead of time. All we know is that something is going to happen. Expectation, on the other hand, usually focuses on a specific outcome. In other words, this needs to happen. And it relies on everything falling in place in order for us to be happy. How many of you have discovered that things don't always go according to your expectations? They don't go according to your plan or my plan. I call that life. And here's what I think happens. We move from anticipation, meaning an excitement about what God is going to do, to an expectation that puts God and many times others on the hook to work out everything according to the way I want it. What happens is that we go through life expecting instead of anticipating. And each time that our expectations are not met by God or others, we lose a sense of joy and excitement. Eventually, we condition ourselves to not get excited about anything because it probably won't measure up to our expectations. The Bible wants us to leave the door open for God to surprise us. Expectation leaves the door open for us to blame God or others when things don't fall into place. The Bible is littered with verses calling us to anticipation. Listen to this one that Paul wrote in Romans 8. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Now, in fact, the Bible says we really can't even imagine what that would be. And I see people trying to put their expectations out there as to how God has to fulfill those for us. But could we for a moment just know and anticipate and get excited about the fact that God is going to do something that you and I can't even imagine or think of? Paul wrote elsewhere in 1 Corinthians, this is the second part of that verse. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing the glory to be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. When I read that verse, I thought, well, how can I talk about the importance of anticipation versus expectation? And the word expectation is right there in the Bible. So I looked up the Greek word, and guess what the Greek word means? Intense anticipation. I was like, touchdown! Paul wrote here in 1 Corinthians, he said, no eye has seen, nor ear heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. He wants to leave us. Instead of us moving into this area of expectation where we get all our hearts set on certain things, I believe God wants to leave us in that sense of anticipation that leaves the door for him to be able to do whatever he wants to do and us be surprised by it. In Ephesians, Paul writes, and he says in this verse, he says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine. But this morning, the Bible's not just littered with verses. It's littered with literal stories. It's full of stories of people who lived with this sense of anticipation that I'm talking to you about. I want to touch on one quick story real quick. You may have heard of it before. It's the story of Abraham and Isaac. You know, God had promised to Abraham, he said, listen, I am going to do something worldwide through your seed. And he promised to him a son that would end up being the beginning of a lineage that would impact the entire world. The only problem was Abraham was finding it difficult to get a son, to make a son. You all know that. Many of you know that part of the story. But eventually God did give him his promised son in his old years. And then after giving him that promised son, whom he said he would through that son end up blessing the whole world, he said to Abraham, he said, I want you to take that son now and sacrifice him to me. But as they were making preparations for that day, you can read about it there in Genesis 22, as they're making preparations for the day, and they're about ready to go up onto the mountain there where God had called Abraham to bring Isaac, he says something very interesting to his servants. Here's what he says. He said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and we will come back to you. You hear it? Do you hear it? There was this anticipation in Abraham's heart and life that God was going to do something. He knew what God was calling him to do.
But somehow inside of his spirit and soul, there was something that caused him to think and believe that God was going to do something unique, something profound, something special, and that somehow, some way, I don't believe Abraham understood everything that was about to take place. But in faith, he knew that he was going out to obey God. And in that obedience, God would do something that would cause for he and his son to return. We will go over there and worship, and we will come back to you. A great sense of anticipation. I don't think Abraham knew what to expect, but I do think he knew to anticipate that God would do something. But I want to spend the rest of our few moments together talking to you about another story in the Bible. It's from 2 Kings chapter 4. I'm not going to read all the verses, but if you have your Bible, you may want to open it and just look there at that passage. There's 7 or 8 verses telling us this story. It's the story of the prophet's wife, the widow of the prophet. We are not told her name. We're not even told her husband's name. We're only told there in that passage that her husband had died and that she was left with 2 sons and a ton of debt. Her grief over her husband's death at this moment is superseded by the reality that the creditors are already knocking at the door, and it's quite likely that they are going to take her 2 sons in payment to try to fulfill the debt that she owes. That they would take her 2 sons and force them into slavery, and through their hard work, it would somehow pay off what it was that she and her husband owed. She had lost her husband, but now she was in danger of losing her 2 sons. So in her despair, she decided to cry out to the man of God at the moment called Elisha. She calls, you know that they literally didn't have phones, right? But she calls Elisha up, right? She calls Elisha up and tells him her plight. And Elisha says to her, "What do you have in your home? What do you have?" And she says, "I've got nothing at all. Absolutely nothing." I think Elisha was thinking, "What do you have in your home that we could liquidate to help pay for the debt that you owe?" And she says, "I've got absolutely nothing except a little bit of oil in a jar." The man of God says to her, "I want you to go out and I want you to go to all of your neighbors and I want you to get as many empty jars as you can find." Is that crazy or what? Is that nuts or what? That is a wild suggestion. But she does it. She obeys the man of God and she goes out and she begins to collect. Now just picture this for a minute. I picture, anyways, a house full of nothing. She got nothing. And now she goes out and collects, all except for this jar and a little bit of oil. She goes out and collects all this jar. She brings all the jars back to her home. And now she's got a house full of empty jars and another jar full of a little bit of oil. But here's what I want to say to us this morning. She went to the man of God who knew to live in expectation and anticipation of what God was going to do, right? She called him up and said, "What am I going to do?" He says, "Go and get empty jars from the neighbors." She obeys that. But I want to say to us this morning, at that moment, those jars may have in the natural been empty. But what those jars were really full of was the anticipation that she had, that she believed what the man of God said, and that something was going to happen. Those jars were not empty. They were full of expectation. imagine the scene as she sits there in her home with all of these empty jars. Jars everywhere. And there standing beside her are her two sons. She takes one of the jars, the jar that had a little bit of oil in it. And she's got to be wondering at this moment, this is absolutely nuts. This is crazy. But could it be that God is somehow behind all this? She tilts her hand with the jar with a little bit of oil in it, and oil runs out of the jar into the empty jar, one of the empty jars. And as the jar fills up, she turns the jar back over, and there's still oil in the jar. So she says to her son, she says, get another jar. And she does it again. Then another jar. And she does it again. And all of a sudden she says to her son, where's the next empty jar? And the son says, we have no more jars. They're all full. And the Bible says at that moment that the oil stopped running. They filled everything that they were putting their hope in, every anticipated jar that was in the house found itself being full. So now the man of God says to her, he says, now here's what you need to do. You need to sell those jars of oil and pay off whatever debt that you owe, and then there's going to be enough left over so that you and your sons will have something to live on. Listen, all that you and I are ever called to do is obey God. All we got to do is just do what we know He's calling us to do. He will take care of the rest. And let's let Him surprise us. Let's move in anticipation that it may not happen the way that we think it should happen or the way that we have figured it out. But when we live with that sense of excitement that something is going to happen, God, you are going to do something. I don't know what that something may be, but I know you're going to do something. Our faith will be resurrected from jaded expectations to a sense of life-giving anticipation. I want to ask you this morning, some of you are here and you're looking at particular situations in your life and there's empty jars. Maybe there's not even empty jars. There's just an empty house at this point. You're thinking relationally. You're thinking, you know, those things are, that's never going to work out. It's hopeless. I'm asking you this morning to think about recultivating anticipation in your hearts. It's our choice. You can live with the pain and frustration of unmet expectations, or you and I can open our hearts to God doing something great that may or may not be what we would expect. Anticipation is a choice of our soul. It's an attitude of heart that believes in the greatness of God's will and the work that He's yet going to do. Anticipation looks ahead with excitement. Entitlement looks back with regrets. So you may ask me, well, how do I go about cultivating anticipation? I've got three quick things for you. You might want to write these down. They're really simple. They are not profound. They're not like, whoa, I never heard that before. Number one, you need to focus on God. We're going to call that fog. When you're in the fog and you're not sure, this woman that we just talked about here this morning, she had no idea how this thing was going to work out, right? there was a fog over her life. And there sometimes comes a fog over our life. When we feel like we're in a fog, we feel like, you know, I don't know what to do. I don't know which way. At that moment, the first thing that we need to do is refocus our eyes on God. We need to have God thoughts of Him moving on our behalf somehow, some way. We need to put our hope in God. God, what are you going to do? I know you can do. I know you're big, and I know that that you are able. What are you going to do? That's number one. Focus on God. Number two, we need to pray big. Big stands for believe in God. Be bold in God. Don't limit God. Let Him work out the hows. Let Him deal with how it's all going to work out. Rather than us trying to figure it out and have all of our expectations, you know, nailed right down, let's step back and say, I'm going to get my eyes on you. I'm going to get my focus on you. I know you're big. You're bigger than my issues. You're bigger than my problems. You're bigger than my situations. I'm going to fix my eyes on you, and I'm also going to believe, that you are able. You are bigger than my empty house. And number three right here, here it is. This is important. We need to let go and let God. We're going to call that frog. Fully rely on God. Fully rely on God. You see, so many times with God and with people, we have these expectations we have, right? Right? Hello? Right? Yes. We have expectations of God. We have expectations of people. And on more than on multiple occasions in my life, I've gone through a situation and I've stepped back and I said, God, you're amazing because I would have never seen it played out that way. I would have never seen it playing out that way. It would not, if I'd have sat down and I thought to myself, well, you know, I think this should happen and that should happen. And I put all the stuff down there and I look at it and I put it on the refrigerator and, you know, it's believing God for that. But, you know, I found more often than not that God does work it out, but it's not the way I got mapped out on the thing. It's just not. It's just not that way. And I think when we live in anticipation rather than expectation, the way I'm describing it, when we live in anticipation that God is going to do something, it's going to surprise. Now, listen, here's the thing. Jody and I were just talking about this yesterday. Most of the time, the reason we get ourselves into trouble is because we like to control the outcome. We want to control the outcome. We want to know what it's going to look like. We want to know that person has related to me the way that I expect them to relate to me. We want it all to work out just so. But I'm telling you, it's better for us. It's much, much better for us if we deal with things in life anticipating that God is going to do something and leave the how-tos up to Him. It allows for God to do His thing. Hopeful anticipation is not dependent on how our needs should be met, but rather how God chooses to meet them. Hopeful anticipation believes in an impossible God. I want to close with a story. It's the beginning part of our story that Bucky and I just went on. Maybe some of you know or don't know that, some of you know, but probably many of you don't know, that he and I went on a hunting escapade out in South Dakota. Now, through some research and stuff, I found out there's a particular Indian reservation that you can hunt on out there. It's called Standing Rock. A funny side note about that is it's actually the Indian reservation that they were having all the protests about the pipeline. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, that was all going on about the same time we were planning this thing, and we're thinking, are we going to get in the middle of something here? Anyways, so anyways, I'm talking back and forth with a person there at the offices on the reservation. In fact, her name was Pearl Three Legs. Pearl Three Legs. That's her name. Apparently, she's married to Mr. Three Legs, which, you know, that's whatever. Sorry. So anyways, I'm talking to Pearl, and I said, Pearl, you know, we're interested in coming out here and doing that, so and so on. So we go, okay, yeah. She said, you'll need a map. You'll need a map of the reservation. I said, great. Send me a map. So she said, okay, I'll send you a map. So they sent us this map, and this map has the roads, of course. It has the different train rails, and, you know, because there's trains that go through the reservation, so it has that on there. But it has all these color-coded squares, these little bitty squares like this, and it's color-coded where you can hunt and where you can't hunt. So, you know, there's green ones, I think, and it might have been yellow ones or something, the place you can hunt. So I was like, okay, this is pretty self-explanatory. But what we didn't know, here's what we didn't know, is that apparently whatever they decided at the headquarters on the reservation there had not gotten to the local population. Okay, are you with me? So we get out there and drive to this little town, it's called Little Eagle. We drive and we look on the map and it's green. Everywhere you look around this town, it's green. So we're driving down the road and we see a turkey at the back end of this field. And I said, Bucky, I said, there's a turkey right there. He said, well, let's park and we'll go right here. It says we can hunt here. We'll do it right here. But all the signs on the fences say no trespassing, no hunting. So we're going to go anyways. We're allowed to do that, right? We're allowed. It says we're allowed. It says right here on that thing, we're allowed. So we get all of our stuff on and we're walking back through this thing and we get towards the back end of this field where this turkey was at. And we get set up in these trees and we start to call and whatnot. And I'm sitting there and I hear this noise, right? I hear this noise. I'm like, what is that noise? And here it was an old van full of Indians coming down the side of the field. And I look over and I see this van full of Indians. And Bucky's sitting over. He didn't move. He just stayed right there. So I sit up from where I'm at, and the one lady there, she points out the window. I'm from here to the wall, away from the van, and she points. She's rolled down her window. What are you doing? I said, well, we're here hunting. She says, well, you're not allowed to hunt here. And I said, well, we have a map saying that this is land or area that we can hunt in. I said, she said, well, I want to see the map. Said, okay, so. We got our stuff all back on, and we walk back out to the road, and she pulls up behind us, and we get the map out, and I said, see, I said, this is Little Eagle, the town of Little Eagle, and we're right here on the road, and it's all green, and she says, well, she didn't say, I guess you can hunt here, but she, you know, implied that, I guess it, you know, that's what it's saying here, that you're allowed to hunt here. She said, but I don't know what to tell you. This is private land. Now, remember, I had cultivated this anticipation of going on this thing, right? And to be fair, I had also cultivated some expectations. Are you there? And right now, at this very moment in this encounter, my expectations are being shot. Right? Because the map says, yes, the people... not so much, right? The funny part of the story was as we're dialoguing back and forth, the lady in the other seat in the front part there, she said, how much money do you have? I said, well, I left most of my money back where we're staying. I said, but I do have a few dollars in a pocket. As I'm pulling out, she says, that's enough. I didn't even tell her how much. That's enough. So essentially, your pastor bought beer money for him for the night. You know, bought beer for him for the night. So. Sorry. I mean, that's what happened, all right? Sorry. Now, ordinarily, and I think we've all been here, right? Ordinarily,
because I've had other moments like this where my spirit, it just goes, you've had this thing that you've been anticipating and expecting and so forth and so on. And normally my spirit would just go off the table, right? It's like, I just drove 22 hours and we're greeted with this. We paid money, right? But do you know, God has a way of surprising you. But remember, we're going to focus on Him. We're going to believe, and we're going to rely on Him. So the next morning, that's the rest of the story. The next morning, this is what makes it utterly amazing, right? I think we were both a little frustrated at that point, right? That's fair. I was frustrated. Okay, he's saying you were frustrated. So we get back to the place that we're staying, and I'm like, man, drove clear out here, and this is what we're up against. So the next morning, I said to Bucky, I said, let's go here. There was another place on the map. I said, let's try here. And so we parked the car. This is in the dark. We've never been to this place before, right? Right? We never set foot there, right? So we drive, we park, we walk back to the edge of the woods. We're standing there. We're waiting. And lo and behold, what we had gone after gobbled about a couple hundred yards away. Are you there? I mean, that, I'm just like, God, you are amazing. You know, we're trying to figure this all out and map it all out, and we take this random shot in the dark, and he got there ahead of us. Imagine that. He got there ahead of us. This morning, I'm just here to encourage you to not live your life buried in unmet expectations with God or with other people. I'm encouraging you, I'm exhorting you to live life with a sense of anticipation that although we may not know what God is going to do, we know God is going to do something. God is going to do something. This morning, I want to pray for folks here this morning who've had, you know, you've just had expectations that didn't turn out the way that you had hoped, whether relationally or physically or, you know, work-wise, just something in your life. It just hasn't unfolded the way that you had anticipated. I want to, you know, just speak life, pray words of life over your unmet expectations. You know, some of you, as I've looked across the room and saw who's here this morning, some of you who have, you've had children that haven't measured up to your expectations. Some of you have had parents who haven't measured up to your expectations. And once what ends up happening is that those things rob you. They rob you. They steal from your life. And end up leaving you in painful regrets. Maybe careers haven't worked out the way you had thought they would or the way you expected. Or ministry situations haven't unfolded the way you had hoped and planned. I want to pray for you this morning. If you're here and you've struggled with these kinds of things, I just going to invite you to stand right where you are. Lord, you see each and every one who's
who's standing before you right now. And God, there are so many things in our lives that we wished we had control over, but don't. And many times, when I think that way, I'm glad you're God and I'm not. And this morning, Lord, we're just bringing all of those unmet expectations and laying them at your feet. Right now, we're taking off the knapsack, the burden of boulders that we have carried about people and situations and you. We're going to take them off right now. We're just going to lay those at the foot of the cross. And we're asking, Lord, as you take those things off of us, that you would invade us and inject us with a fresh sense of anticipation, with a feeling of spirit-born excitement that you are going to do something. You are going to do something. Even if it's not what we've brewed up, even if it's not what we've conjured up in our own hearts and minds, you are going to do something. Either in our hearts, in their hearts, you are going to do something. Surprise us, God. Surprise us. Blow us out of the water, Lord, with what you're going to do. We know you're always on the move. You're always at work. You're always tending to the soil of our situations, Lord. As we wait upon you, as we patiently many times wait upon you, may we wait with a sense of anticipation that you are going to do something, God. And would you breathe fresh spirit life into those places of our hearts that have been dormant, that have been even dead, unable to get excited about anything, always in fear that it won't come out the way that we had hoped. This morning, we're putting our faith on you. We're putting our focus in you. We're believing in you as being bigger. We're praying big this morning in faith that you are able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond we can ask or think of you. Even now, I'm praying for people's situations, Lord. I'm praying for those empty houses, that you would begin to let oil flow in those places, Lord. In those places of unmet needs, Lord. Unmet wants, Lord. That your oil would begin to flow in our hearts first and foremost, but in the hearts and the lives of people involved in those situations. Let your oil flow, Lord. Let it flow, Lord. Let it bring change. Let it bring prosperity in the spirit, Lord. An abundance, an overflow, Lord, of all of our empty jars and the empty places in our hearts, Lord. Fill us up, Lord. Fill my cup. Fill it up and let it overflow. Tomorrow, Lord, when we awaken, whether there's snow on the ground or not, we anticipate that tomorrow you're going to do something. And we're excited about that. We are excited that somehow, some way, you are going to be actively involved in the affairs of our life. Help us to stay away from that looking at the future with a sense of jadedness in our hearts, Lord. Forgive us for that, Lord. Forgive us for making you way smaller than you are. This morning, our hearts are
are full of faith, hope, certain. We are certain of what we yet do not see, God. We know you're going to do something, even if it's not what we expect. Move, we pray. Move by your Holy Spirit. Represented all around this room right now are our people and circumstances and situations and whatnot. I'm asking you, God, would you move in each and every one of them? You know every person by name. You know every situation by detail. You know what can happen that would utterly cause us to stand up and give you the attention you deserve. Would you do it, God? It's not whether you're able. We know you're able. I'm asking this morning, would you do it, Lord? In each and every situation represented here, do it, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen.